We're back with another Niners 365 podcast right here on 49ers.com. It's your host, Taylor Price, joined by a very special guest. We have hip-hop artist Asher Roth. He's a diehard 49er fan, and he knows his 49ers football. So we're going to put him on the spot and ask him right away. Ash, what did you think about the Monday night game against the Redskins? What stood out to you?
I was just happy to get a win, first and foremost, because we were coming off of those two tough L's and with Carolina and that Saints game left obviously a sour taste in all of our mouths. But it was good to beat the Redskins. But it's funny, man. As Niner fans, we're in the mode where, you know, we've been to the NFC Championship game and then we got to the Super Bowl, and now we're all in agreement that it's time to win a Super Bowl. And yeah, I just think it's we're kind of week to week now. So it's like when we lose to Carolina, we're like, okay, you know. But there's the small stories of Vernon Davis going down in that game and kind of the game plan that we had, and then the Ahmad Brooks hit in New Orleans that kind of turned that the wrong way. And then we have Washington. I don't think that we can get too excited about it, though, because the Washington defense is really bad. But it was good to see Mario Manningham catch a few passes and see the defense look dominant. So I'm just happy to get a W.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a good performance, a team performance. Everyone contributed. And one guy I want to ask you about it was Aldon Smith. I just did a little article about this. He did the Terrio dance, and Aldon is known for his sack dances, and he was saying that him and Glenn Dorsey came up with it, that it was time for the Terrio dance. And more importantly than the dance, I think everyone was just loving the fact that Aldon Smith was getting sacks and getting RG3 down on the ground. So tell me about your thoughts on Aldon Smith and his sack dances. How much flavor do you think he brings to this team?
I mean, the sack dance is definitely important. I'm also one for just do your job at the same time. So the Terrio dance is good just because, you know, ooh, kill him. But, you know, I think a lot of the organization and the 49ers organization entirely is rooting for Aldon. I mean, obviously when you're a kid and you see success right off the bat, whether you're Colin Kaepernick or Aldon Smith, and you have success in that first season. And we see it too. I mean, I'm in music, and, you know, they put us on the spot and on a pedestal pretty quickly. So it's obviously important to keep your head. So you can get lost in all that stuff, obviously, when you have friends around who have certain expectations about you and just you want to have fun and you want to enjoy your life because you're still a kid. So I think we're all rooting for Aldon, and just to see him kind of come back, you know, has his haircut, he's clean, he's obviously not, you know, none of the extracurricular activity with pushing other guys. I think he understands his responsibilities now. And that's something as an NFL superstar, which I think we all agree that Aldon is there a couple more dominant years in the league, and he is a superstar, somebody we haven't seen dominate the sack numbers like that in a really long time. And understanding his responsibility as a player and in the 49ers organization, which is a prestigious organization, it's what we look at as a model franchise. So to see him kind of come back, battle his demons, and overcome them, it's you know, you can't not root for that.
That's a great point by Asher Roth. You can follow him on Twitter, at Asher Roth. Buy his music. I know we're going to get to it in a little bit, but you're doing the theme song for Thursday Night Football for the NFL Network, which is a great thing. But, you know, we're talking about all these guys coming back to the 49ers and really making them stronger. Michael Crabtree, you know, a big name. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to see him back in the mix. And this team right now isn't what they're going to be in the playoffs. We're building towards that. But from what you've seen on the field this year, what's been your favorite game of the year?
Favorite game of the year. Obviously, the very first game was big for me. Just obviously beating the Packers, because the Packers, when I was young, and even though obviously I'm still young, but you know, growing up, the Packers beat us all the time. So it's always nice to get a W over the Pack. I'm just trying to rerun the games in my head. I don't know when Frank had his biggest breakthrough specifically, but I'm such a Frank Gore fan, and I think a lot of us are, and I just want to see him get his ring more so than anything else. I want to see Frank get his ring. So anytime we get to see him bust off a couple runs and long runs and just see him play well, those are definitely some of my favorite games. But last week was nice, man, in Washington. You know, that's a... They have a good core. I don't know if Kerrigan was was playing, but Arakpo and all those guys, you know, D'Angelo Hall is not exactly a slouch. They have some playmakers on defense, and they were stacking the box and not allowing us to run, which has been typical. And Colin Kaepernick was delivering on 3rd and 9s. I didn't see us getting a lot of, like, 3rd and longs, which for me is an Achilles heel when the Niners aren't built to convert on 3rd and 15. And you were seeing that in the games they were losing. We can't get ourselves in third down long. So, yeah, I mean, last week is just the freshest one in my mind, and it was nice to see, Robert Griffin III just get lifted off of his feet by Alden and some of those screenshots and watch Ahmad's rise and level of play continuing through the season. I'm excited as you are, too, because if you notice kind of the recent trends, I mean, I'm currently in New York for the Thanksgiving, and New York Giants are a perfect example of a team that kind of has the bumps and bruises through the season. People start to count them out. People start to talk a lot of trash about them, and they start playing their best football and get healthy towards the end of the year. And I think that's what's happening with the 49ers now. They're getting a lot of their guys back. Ray McDonald's going to become whole again. We didn't have to rely too heavily on guys like Tank or Quentin Dial coming in and needing immediate contributions to them, but it's good to get those guys snaps. Same thing with Dan Scuda. You know, it's good to get him some game time action while Alden was out. That's going to be huge in the playoffs. So I think we're about to put it all together. Kaepernick has faced some adversity. I mean, that's another thing that I want to touch upon. I mean, people are totally down on Kaepernick this year. But there's one of two ways that this can go. I mean, I spoke about it on my buddy Elliot's podcast about sometimes Kaepernick just looks like he's going through the motions, you know, and he's just kind of like up there and he's just gonna run the play that he's called, and the audible stuff is all just kind of that noise, and then maybe kind of trick the defense. And there's moments when he looks robotic and mechanical. And I was big on the football smarts. I want to see him go up and say, "Hey, you know, 52, Mike," you know, and really know what's about to happen before the ball snaps. And I think it's really important that this season happens for Colin, because it's like start number 20. What is it? It's like start 20, 21, or maybe 19. You know, he really hasn't played. This is his first full season. He's still a baby. And this is the first time he's seeing schemes that are specifically made for him and his strengths. I mean, I don't know the stats or anything like that, but what he likes to do when he rolls out right or when he rolls out left. And, you know, the defenses and coordinators in the league have been able to kind of catch up to him. So he's not surprising anybody this year. So really what I want to see out of Colin, who I hope Colin and Alden are the staples for our defense and our offense for a long time to come. I really want to see Colin be able to recognize that stuff and use this year as a building block in order to get smarter about the game of football, because there's no doubt that he's probably the most physically gifted athlete we've seen in a really long time. I mean, we don't see guys who have the capabilities to throw for 4,000 yards and run for 1,000, maybe even, I mean, this is ambitious, but 2,000 yards. And sometimes we see it in the rap game a lot, right? So when we're rappers, they might say, "Oh, you're a one-trick pony. You can only make party music, or you can only make whatever." And ego can get to you. They go, "Oh, I'm gonna show these guys, and I'm not just that." So I don't know if there's a little bit of that saying, "Oh, well, I want to show these guys that I can pass." Truth be told, if you want to thrive in this league for a long time, you have to be able to play a pure quarterback position. However, Colin has the ability to run. I don't want him to ever forget that. Being able to run, yes, we need to preserve his legs and make sure he's not taking big hits, but the dude can run. So a lot of the times you saw in the Carolina game, for instance, the one play that really stood out to me is we were really struggling to move the ball, and Colin rolled out left and drew I think it was the middle linebacker and outside linebacker, and he had to make a decision. He was either going to come at Colin or cover Frank Gore, and he ends up coming at Colin. And Colin goes to dip the ball off to Frank Gore. It's a little low at his legs, and Frank dropped it. But there was wide open space ahead. So it just goes to show when Colin is a dual threat quarterback and a genuine dual threat quarterback, what he can do for our offense and to take it really to the next level. And it's exciting stuff.
Man, that's really well said. I think you might be taking my job anytime you want. You know your stuff pretty legit right there.
But you feel me? You know, I mean, this is a lot of the stuff that, like, I'm a diehard Niners fan. I know you agree with this. It's like, a lot of people laugh about it on football, and as you get older, you realize that it's kind of like football is something you can't control, and you kind of start to question yourself. It's like, man, why do I care so much about sports, you know? And it's just like, it's kind of our time, our me time. And like, when I watch the 49ers, I'm so closely tied to it. I know I wrote that article when Alex Smith was with us and all the struggles that he was going through, and I felt kind of connected to what he was dealing with because he, you know, life is such a team sport, and he didn't seem like he had the right pieces in place. And when I watch the 49ers and just football in general, it's such a team sport. It takes such cooperation on multiple levels that it kind of makes sense of the world around us. I mean, in the rap world, you can't do it by yourself. You really need a team, and I kind of call that the offensive line. What's so beautiful about the 49ers is we have one of the most dominant offensive lines in football, and those are the small things that are going to help us win a Super Bowl. So Colin, you know, made me smile when they asked me the kind of Thanksgiving, the whole Thanksgiving question of, hey, man, what are you thankful for besides this win? And he goes, I'm thankful for my offensive line. They keep me clean. And that's very important for a quarterback to recognize, you know, when he scores a touchdown, he goes back and he high-fives his offensive line. And, like, that's the football. That football does not move without guys like Joe Staley and Mike Iupati, who we need him to get healthy soon. And these guys, Anthony Davis, who was another one of those guys, kind of like Alden, who could have gone one way or the other. And it seems like playing for someone like Jim Harbaugh and in an organization like the 49ers realizes his responsibility in kind of the long term. So it's great to have, man, and I'm really happy to be a 49ers fan.
No, it's a great point about the offensive line. Those guys are a brotherhood and so committed to the game of football, just like yourself. And, you know, you mentioned all these games and situations. I'm just curious, as, you know, a busy man like yourself, how do you keep tabs on the team? How do you follow along, and where do you what lengths do you go to watch the 49ers play on Sundays?
Oh, man, it's funny. When I was first on tour in 2009, I actually routed my entire tour. I would not perform on Sundays, or if there was a date that we had to take, just from a geography standpoint, the show would not be able to be, because on the East Coast, the games are at 4:25. So those games are sometimes not over until 7, 8 o'clock, you know. And you'll have a sound check. If the show's at 9, you'll have a sound check at like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. So I've missed numerous sound checks and made several sacrifices to the point it was very detrimental to my career to watch the 49ers. But like I said, man, that's my me time. That's something that I just need for my own sanity, even though it drives me insane. To watch the 49ers can be maddening sometimes, especially in, like, you know, the Cody Pickett, Ken Dorsey era. We had Dennis Erickson as our coach. It was a little crazy to be a fan there, but still, you can't miss a game. That's actually what drives it up. But, yeah, man, extra length to make sure the 49er games are watched. I'm on 49ersWebZone.com a lot because that consolidates a lot of the articles that are written, and obviously 49ers.com with the videos. And you guys do a really good job of showing the personality, because you see the league is trying to expand, obviously, to London. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. North America football is football, man. Let's just keep it here in the States. Personally, I wasn't a huge fan of. I thought it was a little cheap that the Niners had to travel all the way across the country and then some to get to London, and then Jacksonville only had to leave from Jacksonville. That's a couple extra miles on our bodies. But if we keep it right here in the States, you know, it's just this is our sport. You know, I don't know. The whole monetary purposes, but it's a cultural thing, you know. It's just like soccer is having a little tough time in North America, but in Europe they have the same kind of diehard fans that they have for their football club. It's something that, like, you know, it's part of their day. They wake up on, whether it be Saturday, for us it's Sunday, we get a good meal and we watch our boys for 3-4 hours.
We're joined by Asher Roth. He's a hip-hop artist. You know him from his I Love College track and other upcoming projects, what he's doing with the NFL Network as well. Asher, just one thing I want to bring up is you bring about your fandom and all that. And what we're doing right now with 49ers Studios is we're going around interviewing, you know, celebrities or people with interesting stories, because everyone comes from different walks of lives and they love the San Francisco 49ers. And what does it mean to be faithful? And what does it mean to really support this team? So I want to ask you that question. You know, how did you really become a fan of the team, and what does being faithful mean to you?
So my father grew up on the West Coast, and he went to Stanford. And so when Bill Walsh came over to the 49ers, it's really when he linked in. He was also a Len Dawson fan, so it was either going to be that or the Chiefs, which is pretty funny that Joe Montana and both Alex Smith went on to play their later years as a Kansas City Chief. But when that was happening, my father, obviously a huge fan of what Bill Walsh implemented, and raised me. I have two older sisters, so the oldest sister is a 49er fan. Tess, my middle child, doesn't really care about sports at all, which I understand. And then there's me, the baby boy, who's for the most part born with a Jerry Rice jersey on. I mean, the early Christmases and all of that stuff with the Jerry Rice jersey. So obviously it runs in the family. I was actually raised in Philadelphia, and if anybody knows about Philadelphia sports, they're diehard. You know, they're very very serious about their sports. So I just kind of transferred over that, you know, that that faithfulness, if you will, about your sports into the 49ers. And for me, it's just one of those things. It's just like it's that football club and football in general is something that kind of makes sense in my world. So that faithfulness that you're talking about in general, whether it be in sports or just life, having something to believe in and something that you're passionate about is important. It gives you a reason to get out of bed. I'm not saying, you know, as a football fan, it should be the only thing you believe in, you know, but these guys that play football, they are putting their lives on the line every day, and you're seeing it with the seriousness that is coming from things like the side stories that come from an Ahmad Brooks hit. I mean, we could sit here and debate that all day, but the story behind that really is, you know, protecting these guys, their health, you know. And by the way, I don't think that was a penalty. I think it's a clean hit. I think you got to let these guys play football. But you're seeing the millions of dollars and the $9 billion that Roger Goodell sees as, hey, man, we have, you know, TV contracts and all the money we're making, and these guys are putting their lives on the line every day. Seriously, I mean, you guys, they're seeing people get really hurt, and hearing Jerome Bettis talk about how he can't get out of bed in the morning without help and stuff like that. So the fact that these guys are willing to do that for something that they just believe in, I mean, granted, some people take the cynical route and be like, man, I just go and feed my family. But I think there's something beautiful about the game of football, that fact that some of the offensive linemen are throwing up before the game, and the anxiety and the what it makes you feel about going to war with a bunch of your boys like every Sunday, and you know, having that team when you see horrible instances like the guys, I'm sorry, I forget his name, but I think he was on the Cincinnati Bengals that committed suicide. But outside of that, for every time you don't have that case, you have an Alden Smith who can lean back on his family and his family that is that team. And that to me, that's just being faithful, and being faithful to some to a team or a group of people or something that you believe in will ultimately reward you in the long term. So that's where I stand.
That's a great answer. It's definitely well said. And you know, you're ride or die. You're loving this team and supporting them through the thick and the thin. And one thing I know about you is you're active on social media. You're you know, very outgoing and talking with fans and communicating what you're doing with your career. So, you know, if you look at what the 49ers are doing, the players and the way they communicate with fans, who's your favorite, you know, player on social media? Which guy really represents on Twitter?
I really like Joe Staley, man. I think he's a funny guy. I think we'd be friends. I think he gets it. You gotta be able to laugh at your own joke, you know, and take it seriously when you have to. But for the most part, if you're not having fun in this world and you're not enjoying this life, you're doing something wrong. And I think Joe Staley really represents people who do their job and they do it really well and take care of business, but also knows how to have a good time. So I'm a fan of Joe. I know he's been really good with you guys too, with the Joe Show, and I know that the locker room really respects him. So I think that's what it is. It's when you handle your job and you have a lot of fun, the guys respect you and they listen to what you have to say when you want to say something.
And I think we could say the same thing about yourself. I mean, you're definitely a rapper's rapper is what they like to say, with the punchlines and the detail of your writing, but also you're playful too, and you have that side of it. So just tell me about, you know, what you're up to. You're out in New York right now. Where can our 49er fans, how can they get in touch with your music, and just tell us about some of the upcoming projects that you got going on?
Yeah, man, we're on, obviously on Twitter, at Asher Roth, which is a direct way to get a hold of me. But yeah, it took a really long time, because when I Love College popped, we obviously like any like sob story, you know, a lot of hands got in the cookie jar, so to speak. So it's like, for me, it was about simplifying the formula. So I've now gone back to kind of a direct to consumer and direct to fan based approach. I just want to be able to make the music that I make. I want to be able to obviously write my own rhymes and write my own songs. And when I left college pop and everybody wanted, you know, another hit, suddenly everybody's sending you songs and wanting you to do this. And obviously some of them will be no-brainer hits, but, you know, it's not something that you want to jump up and rap on stage every night because it's not something that's coming directly from you. So it took a while. It took about 2 or 3 years to get out of all the contractual nonsense that I'm in, but now I'm free and really starting to do all my own stuff. So following me on Twitter and obviously Facebook, Instagram as well will allow you to be the first to kind of hear what we're up to. But the first project that we're doing, which you've seen a leak from on See the World, was the most recent. A little trippy, a little kind of independent vibe, but it's part of a bigger project called Retro Hash. That if anyone's familiar with the work, we did a project before called Taps and Jazz, produced mainly and almost entirely by a production duo from Chicago, Blended Babies. And so the fact that we're friends, man, it's just a bunch of kids hanging out and having fun. And that's really what why I think I have the best job in the world, because I'm just, you know, hanging out with my buds, like making music and watching football. So that music you can find on at Asher Roth. It's going to be out probably at the top of the year. 2014 is going to be a lot of fun. So it's just one of those things that keep in touch and be able to find out what we're up to. But Retro Hash is the next move. We have Rother, which is the Knox project with Travis Barker on the drums, just hanging out with P Rock in New York. So just meeting up with some of my idols, hanging out with them, and just, you know, talking that good.
Yeah, and Elliot wanted me to ask you about the Eminem shout out. Now, me as a rap fan, just curious, is that you take that more as like an insult, a challenge, or is it maybe just an honor to be, you know, on that radar where he's doing the rap god and doing all these crazy songs, and he happens to entertain you and to give you a shout out in that way?
Totally, man. I mean, my focus is obviously solely on my new music and everything like that. And then when that gets brought to my attention, it's cool. It really is. It's cool because everything that he's accomplished in his career, for even him to even recognize what I'm doing, is just kind of like, all right, work, keep doing what you're doing more than anything else. But, you know, rap does have a competitive nature to it and stuff like that. So as much as it is fun, it's still a sport, and that's the kind of stuff that keeps me going, keeps me competitive, and keeps me moving forward. So it's definitely all in good spirit.
Yeah, no, I think that's what the beauty of rap is. It's definitely like a brotherhood, but also competitive. You just mentioned that, and I want to ask you about Thursday Night Football. How much excitement do you get from that? Just knowing that your song is, you know, part of the NFL fiber, you know, they're using that to get people excited about, you know, upcoming games.
It's crazy, right? It was really cool. Also being in Madden, we had Last Man Standing getting Madden, and stuff like that. Which was even cooler about that is when we made that record, Orin and I, and my buddy DA, we had put that record together. I was like, man, I hope this gets in Madden. And then, you know, like 8 months, 9 months later, it's in Madden, and then NFL Thursday Night kind of hits us up and say, hey, we want to use it. It's just like, it's cool when all that kind of pays off. So, yeah, man, it's just really kind of stating your intentions and what you want to do. It really helps out, and it really comes back to, you know, being a 49er faithful and faithful in general. If you know what it is you want to do and you state your intentions, I think it gives you a better chance to accomplish your goals. So I'm pretty happy with where I am right now. For myself and the 49ers in general, I think we have a very bright future.
Definitely. Well said, man. I'm just blown away by it. I know from listening to you and watching some of the videos, you're rocking some of the gear, you're talking about the team a lot. But just, you know, talking one-on-one, really just impressed by your knowledge and your passion for this team. And so that just makes me want to know, when can we hear a 49ers freestyle or some kind of 49ers song by Asher Roth?
Oh, dude, I had one for you guys. It's just tough because the roster changes over so drastically each year. So I'm gonna try to hone in and try to do something timeless for everybody, where we can kind of do something that touches on the legends and touches on cornerstone pieces. Because when you start getting into those, like, you know, those safeties, like those special teams players and stuff, they might not be on the roster the next year. So that's one thing that we've always tried to do, is make timeless music. And so I'll check back in with you, and you'll, Taylor, you'll be the first person to have the official 49ers freestyle by Asher Ross.
Oh, that'll be awesome. You know what? I always go by length of contract. You know, the longer the contract, the more likely they're going to be around here for the long haul.
How true it is, man. How true it is.
All right. Well, that's the word from Asher Roth. He's killing it with the music game right now and doing a great job of just supporting the team and being faithful, you know, just being there for the 49ers, and everyone else is just going to enjoy this next month of the playoff push. And I know, you know, you're going to be riding and dying with us every single step of the way. So appreciate your time. And like I said, follow him on Twitter. Make sure you connect with him. Get to know what he's up to with his tour dates. Go see him in person and just enjoy the music, man. Really appreciate your time.
You got it, man. So last game of Candlesticks is against Atlanta.
Atlanta, Monday Night Football.
All right, so hopefully I'll see you then, all right?
You coming out, hit me up, and we'll get together and get you another interview on 49ers.com.
All right, Taylor, you got it, man. Stay safe. Have a happy holiday.
Same to you, man. Appreciate it.
Cheers.